Praise God, saints. If you would take out your sermon note sheet, I want you to look at it and tell me, what is our topic for this Lord's Day? Amen. Investment tips for singles. One is a whole number. Everybody say, one is a whole number. Amen. I want to share just an excerpt of some little first graders, what they had to say. A first grade teacher gave her class the first part of a proverb and asked them to finish the second half. And here's what these first graders came up with. Better to be safe than, we would think, sorry, but the first graders thought, better to be safe than punch a fifth grader. Amen. You in the first grade, you know, it's better to be safe than to punch a fifth grader. It's always darkest before, right, but the first graders thought, it's always darkest before daylight saving time. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. But the first graders thought, don't bite the hand that looks dirty. Just don't bite the hand that looks dirty. A penny saved is? Well, the first graders thought, a penny saved is not much. It just ain't much. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you. Well, the first graders thought, laugh and the whole world laughs with you, cry and you have to blow your nose. Ain't that the truth? Children should be seen and not, well, they thought children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. There's a few in agreement with that. Amen. And then the last one, a miss is as good as a missus. All right, you got it? And we're going to see this day that according to Scripture, a miss is just as good as a miss. But first, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your awesome love in our lives, for your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness unto us. Lord, we thank you for your word. Truly, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we ask now that you would anoint the preaching of your word. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak, for we are listening. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that you would encourage and renew our minds and transform our lives for your glory. And we give you thanks and praise ahead of time in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen. 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 Well, saints, do you know what is the fastest growing minority segment of the American population? Now, minority meaning percentage of population. It's not Hispanics, it's not African Americans, it's not Asians, it's not Europeans. It is, as Benita just said, singles. Almost 40% of all American adults are single, widowed, divorced, are always single. Now, the total of their population equals the population of the states of New York, California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, Arizona, and Maryland. Did you know that there is an entire chapter in the Word of God that celebrates singleness? And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in this chapter, we find Paul's, his manifesto on marriage, and also his treatise on singleness. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is addressing some questions that have been sent to him as he tries to correct some pervasive problems in the church. For the book opens up with this verse, this phrase. Now, for the matters you wrote about, that's how Paul starts his letter. There were people in that culture who frowned on marriage, and there were also others who looked down on singles. And on top of that, sexual immorality abounded in this seaport town. kind of sounds like our America today, doesn't it? But let me be quick to add that the Apostle Paul was not against matrimony. In fact, in Ephesians 5, Paul establishes that the love a husband is to have for his wife is a picture of the love Christ has for the church. So this passage today, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's a very deep, everybody say deep, and very practical, and it deserves careful study. All right. So in these verses that we're going to look at, marriage is validated, and also singleness is held up as advantageous, recognizing that not everybody is equipped for marriage. Amen. And not everybody is called to singleness. Amen. Amen. And the reality of human passions is stated in this book without reservation. So balancing all of these truths while speaking directly into the cultural confusion and answering specific questions, Paul advocates just two alternatives. Everybody say just two. Two. And that is self-controlled singleness. Say that with me. Self-controlled singleness and monogamous marriage. Say that with me. Monogamous marriage. Amen. And we don't have time today to tackle the entire chapter 7, so I'm asking you all during your devotions this week to read 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter 7, for yourself this week along with your normal devotions. Now, this outline I'm sharing with you, it shows that Paul is really concerned, and he's trying to help both groups while he's answering these questions from the Corinthians. Now, you can jot this down on your side notes. Verses 1 through 9, he's answering the question, is marriage preferred? In verses 10 through 24, he's trying to answer the question, is marriage permanent? And then in verses 25 through 40, he's answering, is marriage paramount? So we're going to look at some misconceptions about being single today and see how one is a whole number. Say that with me again. One is a whole number. Also, we're going to see that marriage doesn't guarantee completeness. Marriage does not guarantee completeness. All right, a single person that is single, they're separate, they're unique, they're whole, and they are complete. Praise God. The Bible does not tell us that there is something wrong with being single. In fact, we see in God's word that singlehood can be, as a matter of fact, a blessing. Everybody say a blessing. A blessing. Let's look together and read those few verses that I have printed in our sermon notes. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35. Together. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. Amen. Everybody say this with me. Singleness is great. Singleness is great. Amen. Hallelujah. There's absolutely nothing wrong, amen, with being single. And we are seeing in this passage that there are even advantages in being single. Among others, single persons can attend to the things of God without distractions. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Loneliness is not peculiar to singles alone. All right? Loneliness has to do with relationship, because you can be married and be lonely. All right. So loneliness has to do with relationship. People become lonely when they're out of relationship. So then you may ask, well, just what is a major problem that singles encounter. And I believe their major problem is pressure. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Pressure from peer groups. Pressure from parents. Pressure from friends. Pressure from society. Some people come under pressure because their friends are getting married, and they hear that question, well, what? Why aren't you married? Well, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Don't nobody like you? What's wrong? And these pressures are just mounted up daily by those who are single. I'll never forget, several years ago, our cousin spent the weekend with us from Canton, and they were little. Nicholas was 5 years old. He was the youngest of them. And we were getting ready to come to church, and so we said, hurry up, hurry up. So Pastor Rick said, Nicholas, come, let me brush your hair. So Pastor Rick was brushing his hair, and Pastor Rick was teasing with him. Pastor Rick said, I'm going to have your hair looking so good, you're going to find a wife at church today. And he's five, you know. And he went like this. He really thought about what Pastor Rick said. Then the next thing he did, he started going like this. He messed his hair up so bad and wouldn't let Pastor Rick touch it. So he came to church here with some messed up hair. So we got the idea that maybe he wasn't looking for a wife that day. He just didn't want a wife that day. Praise God. I doubt if he, I don't know how he feels today. I'm going to ask him when I see him Thanksgiving. And you remember that day? How you feel today? All right. But that day, he did not want a wife. But friends, you must know how to handle these pressures or you will feel rejected. You can go into self-pity or develop low self-esteem. You can even become depressed or come under undue anxiety and panic. Oh, yes, I guess my biological clock is ticking. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I guess I better find somebody real quick or I just, and you know what? When we start doing that, you know, those pressures can push you into making decisions that will affect you negatively for the rest of your life. So you may think you are a second-class citizen, but let's tell you today, you are not. You are great. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say to the whole body, to the whole family, we must respect the situation of every single. Some singles are single by choice. Some choose to remain single. They flat out just don't want to get married. Now, some are single by circumstance. And let me say this, those of us who are married now, if we continue to keep living, God continues to allow us to have life, there will be one day when one of us will be single again. All right. But in the meantime, those who are single, what should you do? I want everybody to say with me, relax. Just relax. Relax. Don't allow your desires to get out of hand. Don't allow that, oh, I'm running out of time, biological clock. Oh, I better find somebody real quick. Set your mind on things above. Don't be preoccupied with marriage. Don't be preoccupied with sex. A major myth is this, saints. My life plus somebody else's life equals happiness. That ain't true. My life plus somebody else's life don't guarantee happiness. We were fed them fairy tales since we was little bitty people. Cinderella and Prince Charming, all of that. All those lies, really, just lies. It's a myth. My life and someone else's life does not guarantee happiness. So I want to offer some warning for singles today, and I have printed this warning in our notes. It's a warning to singles about situational ethics. Situational ethics states decision-making should be based upon the circumstance of a particular situation, whatever's going on, whatever, whatever, and not upon fixed law. But saints, we cannot do just what feels good. We cannot justify breaking God's laws just because we are in love. We must do what God says to do, even if we don't like it. Hallelujah. God loves us. And those rules are there for good reasons. Christians who are single, notice, Christian comes first. All of us who are Christian comes first. Amen. Christian comes first. We must do what God says, even when we don't like it. You see, when you're single, it's easy to get tired of that marriage question. So I want to suggest, try some humor. Just some of you all can come up with some real funny comebacks, you know, to that question. Why aren't you married yet? Why aren't you married yet? One person, she was asked, why aren't you married yet? She says, I already have enough laundry to do, thank you. I mean, you can come up with some funny things, you know, just to put humor in the situation. But in 1 Corinthians 7, we found that Paul was answering a question that had come to him concerning the single life. So let me say it again, saints, so that everyone can be clear. Singleness is great. Hallelujah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being single. Being single is a perfectly acceptable and proper way of life that has divine, everybody say divine, divinely approved status. This means you can honor God where you are right now. So I want to encourage you today, see your singleness as a gift. Hallelujah. Verse 7 and verse 24 tells us this, that singleness is a good thing because it is a gift. Everybody say gift. It's a gift from God. Verse 7 says this. This is Paul speaking. I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has this. The word gift, saints, is the same word that is used extensively in chapters 12, 13, and 14, where Paul answers another question about spiritual gifts. And this word denotes a free gift of grace. So actually, Paul is teaching that marriage is a gift of grace, and that singleness is a grace gift as well. Amen. And it all comes down to recognizing and receiving your situation as a calling from God. Hallelujah. A generous and gracious God who gives good gifts. Amen. And is the setter of situations. Now, what this means is that if you are single right now, you have the gift of singleness. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you will have this gift for all of your life, but that right now, God has presented you with this present in the present time. Now, God may change your assignment, or you may become increasingly content with being single. As one author says, there is grace for being so gifted either way, single or married. There's grace for being so gifted. So if this gift is just temporary for you, just keep in mind some of the practical principles from Pastor Rick's message on investment tips for dating, in which he included what to look for in a mate. Amen. And if you need a refresher, you can see Jamel and you can reorder investment tips for dating. So then, friends, see your singleness as a way to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Now to the very infamous and very insensitive question, why aren't you married yet? I like the perspective of singles who reframe this question to, what is God doing in and through my life? Hallelujah. Through my singleness. And the song that John and Anita, here I am, Lord. Is it you calling me? What is it, Lord, that you desire to do in, through, and for me? Instead of thinking of oneself, oh, I'm a single person, just refer to yourself as a person who happens to be single. This helps to keep the emphasis on who you are and the gifts you've been given and not on your marital status. Since singleness is a gift, amen, and words do matter. Speaking of words mattering, and when it comes to describing a single person's marital status who has always been single, my sister Susan encourages using the term always single. She loves that term in preference over never married. You know, we say, oh, they've never been married. That person's never married. It's much better to say they've been always single. It's more positive and makes more sense. So since singleness is a gift, hallelujah, I want us to keep two more things about spiritual gifts in mind from 1 Corinthians 12. All right, indeed, God gives gifts according to God's will. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this: all these gifts are the work of the one and same Spirit, and the Spirit gives those gifts to each one just as He determines. So if you are single today, God has determined at this point in your life for you to be so. And since God is good, hallelujah, God's gifts to us are good, even if you'd rather have a different one. Oh, hallelujah, God's gifts are good. And with all the spiritual gifts, and we're studying gifts in Bible study right now, I encourage everybody to come out. Learn your spiritual gifts so you can step into the ministries that God has for you. Come on out and join us in discovering and celebrating our gifts. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. So ultimately, whether you are single or whether you are married, it's not about you anyways. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus anyways. It's all about the Lord. And each of us, saints, are here for God's purposes. And we're here for the good of others. Amen. One single has developed an answer to the question, why are you still single? By answering, and it's right in our passage today, it's for your good. Hallelujah. It's for your good. Amen. I love that. So, saints, let's look at how singleness can help bring glory to God. From 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 35. The overriding principle is found in verse 29, and this is it. The time is short. Everybody say that with me. The time is short. This means to be contracted or drawn into a narrow space. Saints, we need to give our all to Jesus Christ today. Amen. Because we may die tomorrow. We may not even be here this afternoon. Or Christ may return tonight. And therefore, we must live with expectancy and urgency. Now, marriage is a part of a world that is already on its way out. And so we must focus on things that are eternal. I like what the missionary martyr Jim Elliot said. He said, wherever you are, be all there. Amen. Would you just remind your neighbor, wherever you are, be all there. Be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. In other words, live to the hilt in every situation you find yourself. Live, celebrate, because you're in the will of God. Celebrate. Since the time is short, saints, singles have some distinct advantages when it comes to serving our Lord and Savior. Now, let me make a few powerful comments to those of you who are single. I want to start by saying, start living right now. Start living right now. Hallelujah. Celebrate. Celebrate your singleness. Whether it is temporary singleness or permanent singleness, celebrate it. And live a life of undivided devotion to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to high five your neighbor and say, don't wait to start living. Don't wait to start living. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait to start living. Amen. One single put it this way. I need to stop asking myself, why am I alone? Why am I alone? I need to start asking, Lord, why am I here? What you got for me, Lord? Thank you for the gifts, Lord. How you want me to use them, oh God? Why? What is my purpose? I want to be in your will, your plan, your purpose. Amen. Unfortunately, a lot of emphasis today, you look at the magazines, we're in the grocery line, is how can you hook this man over here? How can you hook these gals over here? It's just unbelievable, some of those articles that they have in there. And so that's not what we're about. The Bible teaches that each of us, no matter if we're married or not, we need to be living each day to its fullest. Hallelujah. And our task, saints, is not just to survive. Our task is to thrive. Hallelujah. To be victorious, as the God's chosen generation sang today. Victory. Hallelujah. And we're not to just put in our time. You can tell people who are just putting in their time. They're not joyous and they're just there. They're just doing their time. We are not as Christians just to do our time, but we're to make the most. Make the most. High five your neighbor and say, make the most of your time. Make the most of it. Make the most of your time. Hallelujah. Because as Paul says in verse 31, the world in all its present form is passing away. It's passing away. Hallelujah. Make the most of your time. And use your singleness as a way to serve. You may be tempted to think, well, you can do just what you want to do until you one day settle down, you know. Those wild oats, you know, you're just letting them get wilder and wilder. But one day I'll settle down and get married. Singles, don't use your singleness as an excuse to sin. Instead, use your gifts, use your abilities, use your time, use your talent to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. And to serve others, because the time is what?
Short.
It's short. It's short. In the verses immediately preceding 1 Corinthians 7, Paul reminds each of us that our responsibility is to honor God. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It reads, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Hallelujah. Now, saints, Jesus was single. And Jesus knew more about committed relationships than we will ever know. And in John 13:35, Jesus said this. By this will all people know that you are my disciples. How? By our love one for another. Our badge is love one for another. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Greg's testimony today was so awesome. We need to take time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So looking at our notes at the bottom of the first page, say with me, one is a whole number. One is a whole number. So first of all, let's look at these points I want us to take with us today. Whether married or single, I challenge each of you to make some visible changes in your calendar that says, I'm going to build stronger and deeper friendships with people. And so what Greg shared with us was just so right on. If you're single and romance happens in the process, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you. But that's not the whole goal. Amen. If you're married today, focus on deepening your relationship with your spouse. And then, amen, build other friendships too. Become a big brother, a big sister. Help out at the church. We got something to do all the week long here. Volunteer at the schools. Go to the hospitals. It's so much. Help out. And then eat out with other people. Enjoy fellowship. Spend time with people. Building meaningful relationships. Hallelujah. All right. Make some changes in your calendar. Secondly, what do we need to do? Don't worry about the future or live with anxiety. Saints, tackle each new day with hope. When you wake up in the morning, say, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of another brand new day. New opportunities to praise your name. New opportunities to love and serve you and love and serve others. Hallelujah. Tackle each day with hope. And don't worry about your life, Matthew 6:25 says. And Paul says in Philippians 4:11, I've learned to be content in every situation. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. What's the third thing? Don't be afraid to admit you want a relationship with someone special. Don't be afraid to admit it. A single person was asked once if they were looking for a special relationship. They answered, no, I'm happy with my job. Well, that's like asking someone if they want a new car, and they answer, well, no, I already have a good set of china or something like that. I admire people who say, I'm looking for that special relationship. I'm looking to date. I'm looking. But I don't need that to make me happy because one is already a whole number and I'm happy in my Lord, but I'm looking for that special relationship. I'm looking today. Don't be afraid to admit you want a relationship with someone special. And then number four, what is it, saints? Get your self-esteem and self-worth from God and don't depend on everyone's opinion of you. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Know that you are whole. You are unique. You are gifted. You are talented. Regardless of your circumstance, one is a whole number. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I ran across a poetic declaration, and it had written by an African-American pastor. I tried to find who the pastor's name was, so I just have to put author unknown. I wasn't able to find out their name, but it is entitled Fellowship of the Unashamed. And I thought it was so fitting and appropriate as I thought about the singles here at Glenville New Life Community Church, the beautiful singles that God has placed here in our church. So for those who are at this time in your journey of life single, it is my prayer for you that you will, at this time, rise to your feet. All singles, those who are single in this journey of life at this time, would you please rise to your feet? And I'm going to ask if you would, together, with pride, declare this declaration. And it's entitled, The Fellowship of the Unashamed. All right. Do you have it there? Everybody have it? All right. I printed it on your sermon note sheet. Let us begin, singles. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on God's presence, walk by patience, lift up by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my walk is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is tough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till Christ comes. Give till I drop. And work till Christ stops me. And when Christ comes for his own, he will have no problems recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would seal these declarations. Seal them for your glory and for the edification of your church. I want to ask you today, are you making the most out of your life? The life that you have been given by God. Have you postponed your living because of the circumstance you find yourself in today? Remember, today's message is about celebrating the person who you are today. Celebrating who you are. I'm going to ask as each of us in the house today would now rise to our feet. You will see printed after that declaration, a declaration that we all shall make together concerning our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this applies to all of us. And I'm going to ask that together in unison we declare what we have in our relationship with Christ. We declare not guilty of sin, Romans 3:24. We are considered pure and holy, 1 Corinthians 1:30. We are brand new people inside, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We will live forever, Ephesians 1 and 11. We can come fearlessly into God's presence, Ephesians 3:12. We are complete in Him, hallelujah, Colossians 2:10. We are accepted, Ephesians 1:6. We are chosen by God, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. We are the apple of God's eye, Psalm 17:8. The fact that we are considered the apple of God's eye, wow. We are whole people, single or married, doesn't matter. God's plan for today is to build genuine relationships with people, hanging out with others, hanging out with God, being real. If something happens that leads to marriage, great. But if it doesn't need to, because one is a whole number. Hallelujah! Praise your name! You're worthy today! We love you today. We say thank you today, Lord. I want you to take a moment, turn to the neighbors around you, give them a high five and say, celebrate the person you are. Celebrate the person you are. Celebrate the person you are. Hallelujah. God has great plans for your life. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know that I know that I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. So will you let God have your heart today? Will you let God have your life today? Will you trust Jesus Christ with your future? Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, we pray for grace to trust you more. Giving God your today, my friend, is the best way to assure for a great tomorrow. Hallelujah. So let God use you by making yourself available to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, our prayer this day is that in our lives be glorified. In your church be glorified. Be glorified today and all the days to come. And we ask it and thank you in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus and all God's